Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Blessing, I'm excited as hell to talk about video games today.
Same here. There's so much to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is our shirts. We're over here rocking the video game shirts.
Oh, yeah.
You got a Street Fighter going.
Got a Kingdom Hearts thing going.
Yeah, I don't even like Kingdom Hearts like that, but you know how to rep it. Kingdom Hearts 1 specifically I like.
Okay, but you're wearing a Kingdom Hearts 2 shirt, to be clear.
Hey, man, you know, that's Roxas. It's all the same to me.
Roxas,
hold on. That's Sora, right?
Imran loves Kingdom Hearts.
That's Roxas in the middle. So, like, it's Sora and Kairi.
This guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blessing, when is going to be Kingdom Hearts month where you play through Kingdom Hearts games on stream?
God,
a few people on Twitter tried to make this happen where I would play through Kingdom Hearts. And I want to make it clear, I'm not going to play through Kingdom Hearts. I played Kingdom Hearts 1 as a kid, enjoyed it a lot, liked it as a kid. I got Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5 HD Remix, which one is a long name for a game. Two, started playing Kingdom Hearts, I guess 2.5 technically. Got about like 7-8 hours in and I was just like, I'm good. I don't need to play this. I know what this is. I understand it. It's magic. It's Disney. It's Mickey Mouse for some reason, like wielding a fucking key saber and doing backflips. I get what this is. I'm good. I don't need it.
No. First of all, you don't get what this is because no one gets what that is. It's Kingdom Hearts is like, as someone on Twitter said to me, it's as complicated as Metal Gear, but nobody calls that out, which is true.
That's bullshit. And I know that. I think that was Cameron Hawkins that said that. And I want to make it clear that is bullshit. Metal Gear Solid makes sense. It's convoluted. And it's ridiculous, but it makes sense. Kingdom Hearts is all about friendship.
Tell
and magic
them, Bless.
In a way
tell
where,
them.
Like, you
fake
can,
things.
You cannot,
fake
you
things.
Cannot
not like
grind that down into like something that feels.
There's a literal vampire in Metal Gear.
But and he was made through science.
It was nanomachines,
no,
all right?
Was
it was
nanomachines. Science. He was retconned to be.
No, they
science.
Just hadn't explained it yet. Retcon. Get out of here.
Can you explain half the shit that goes on in Kingdom Hearts without using, like, magic and friendship?
Okay, it's a fantasy game, though. You have to use the words magic and friendship in some, well, magic at least, in some form. Donald's a magician. He's not a nanomachinist.
Yeah, in Metal Gear Solid is science historical fiction,
No, no, no.
You know?
We're not throwing the word historical into Metal Gear Solid.
It's the only word that fits.
I find it
it's
easier
the only
to
word
wrap my head around
fiction.
Metal Gear Solid because I feel like that makes way more sense than a lot of the bullshit that goes on in Kingdom Hearts. And I'm not hating on Kingdom Hearts. I think Kingdom Hearts is awesome for the people that love it. I'm just saying, for somebody that's played all the Metal Gear Solid games, played 5 Metal Gear Solid games, and have understood what goes on in them, I played 1.5 Kingdom Hearts games, and I'm lost. I have no idea what the fuck.
Here's what I'm saying
about.
Though: if Kingdom Hearts, if Goofy looked at the camera and said, "Hey, you have Symphony of the Night on your memory card," people would be like, "Oh, that's bullshit. This game makes no sense."
No,
but
in Metal Gear, it happens.
People are like, "Oh, that's super awesome." See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a double standard here.
It's
applied.
Meta. You don't get it. God.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin knows what I'm talking about. You just
I know
don't
what
get
he's
it.
Talking about.
No, I think it's cool either way. I'm saying people wouldn't think it's cool if it was Kingdom Hearts.
Imran, I would love to continue to have this back and forth with you because I can go on for days about Kingdom Hearts versus Metal Gear Solid. But there's so much to talk about today, such as a new Indiana Jones game, a bunch of PS5 release windows being revealed, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at patreon.com/kindafunnygames with bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping for you. We heard your cries, and now it's official. We're now uploading all of our Twitch streaming over on a third YouTube channel called Kinda Funny Plays. That way, if you missed out on some of the shenanigans, for example, if you wanted to check out Nick, Mike, and Andy playing Warzone, I've not watched many of the streams so far because we've only done week one, and I'm a very busy man, as you know, Imran. Mm-hmm. I assume all they do over here is play Warzone. And so if you've missed out on those shenanigans, you can now go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, catch up on the full Twitch streams. And Roger, of course, will still be doing the edited down versions that we'll be uploading on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for you to check out and consume in a condensed format. But if you want the full things, now they're there, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Speaking of new 2021 shenanigans, the first episode of the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast is now up over on Patreon for gold members. That's Barrett Courtney, Roger Courtney, and I's new monthly podcast in a similar vein as the Kinda Funny podcast, where we bullshit around and talk about whatever. The twist is, we're all under 30, so we're not talking about all that old man shit that Nick Scarpino was always on about. I don't know why I'm bullying Nick Scarpino today.
Everyone was yesterday. Yeah, it's you're in good company. You're doing fine.
Thank you. A new PS Love You XOXO episode is out today, and it's an excellent episode about Killzone and whether or not it's dead. And so if you want to listen to that, of course, youtube.com is Kinda Funny Games, podcast services around the globe. And then for some reason, this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific time, we're doing a Signs watch-along party. It'll be my first time watching Signs. All you need to do, if you want to join, is have Amazon Prime, and you can come through, hang out with us on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, watch along. We can give our Signs theories. I'm not seeing Signs, so I don't know if it's the kind of movie that you have.
Thighs is a different movie. It's
Thighs is a way different adult movie that I have.
I can stream it on Twitch.
You just turned the Signs thing into like a you thing, and it's like for Nick's birthday, like you know that.
We're doing it because I've not watched it though. That's where the whole idea came from.
It's to celebrate Nick's birthday. Like, that's the only. Signs. No, yeah, that's why we chose the movie. And Nick was like, "I love Signs. I'll watch Signs." But it's all about Nick. It's in his. You are being really mean to Nick today.
I don't know why, because I barely interact with Nick. Because like we're not on any of the same content, and I love Nick, but I feel like this is now my way of connecting with Nick.
Just
because if there's anything I know about Nick Scarpino, he loves making fun of people, and I feel like if I make fun of him enough, he'll start to notice me and give me acknowledgement.
Fun fact: He hates being made fun of.
Oh, was that Kevin? I didn't hear you.
I said, fun fact: he hates being made fun of.
Oh, does he really?
Mm.
That seems kind of.
I mean, he'll still notice you then, though. Like he'll notice you, he'll just hate you for it.
Nixon have no idea I'm talking about him this much because he does not watch Kinda Funny Games daily.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Maybe he will, though. Maybe now he will.
Definitely not.
I mean, what you're doing is you are setting it up for when Nick and Andy host Games Daily to just roast you the entire time.
Oh, my God. That's way too much work. That's way too much work for Nick.
I'm very excited about that episode, by the way. April 1st is coming, 2021. Nick and Andy, Kinda Funny Games Daily. Stay tuned for that. But for now, thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Hims, Brooklinen, and Burrow, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 8 stories today. Starting with our number one, Imran. This morning, a little small indie company by the name of Bethesda decided to wake up and choose violence. They've announced a new Indiana Jones game. I'm pulling directly from their Twitter. Kevin, I have the Twitter link for you to pull up if you want to show the teaser that they tweeted out this morning for the Indiana Jones game. They tweeted a follow-up tweet that reads like this. A new Indiana Jones game with an original story is in development from our studio, Machine Games. It'll be executive produced by Todd Howard in collaboration with Lucasfilm Games. It'll be some time before we have more to reveal, but we're very excited to share today's news. Imran Khan, what was your reaction upon seeing this morning?
Confusion? Because, like, they did the Lucasfilm rebrand yesterday, and they're already, like, coming out swinging. Like, I remember everyone thinking yesterday, like, oh, I wonder if this means, like, an Indiana Jones game. I was like, yeah, maybe. And when they do the new movie, sure. But, like, I did not expect the day after they did the rebranding, they'd be like, yeah, no, Lucas, like, Indiana Jones as well. And Machine Games, really good pick. I am excited for them to, you know, stretch their legs a little bit and like get into a different IP and like really see what they can do with this game.
Yeah, this looks, I'm very excited about this. From the perspective of, I would not have expected this announcement, and for them to come out and be like, oh yeah, we're giving it to Machine Games, I think is very exciting. Because Machine Games, obviously known for the Wolfenstein games, the recent Wolfenstein games that have been really excellent. This seems like an entirely new project for them in the way that I'm really curious and excited to see them stretch their legs and try out something new. Because this very much reminds me of the same or similar as Guerrilla Games moving on from Killzone and creating Horizon Zero Dawn. You know, and like Killzone, obviously, like not Wolfenstein in terms of how those two things are received. Like Wolfenstein, the New Colossus, very excellent game. But what Machine Games and Wolfenstein New Colossus and Wolfenstein New Order, I feel like have shown off such skill in terms of, hey, we can make a blockbuster story. Like we can make, we can have great dialogue and great cutscenes and really have you engaged with what's going on in the story of this game. And so to see them tackle an Indiana Jones game, I think is really exciting for that.
Yeah, I think Machine Games is such a perfect pick because they're not afraid to just like, if they want to do something that doesn't necessarily like jive with gameplay necessarily, I'm not saying it's bad, but like if they want to create some dissonance, they will do it. Like we were just talking about New Colossus. New Colossus doesn't start off with you feeling all powerful. It starts off with you feeling like real shit. Like that you start off extremely weak in that game.
You literally start off in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and then like, before you really get, you know, the armor and all that, you die in a couple of hits. It is a difficult game at the beginning. I can definitely see them having a more quiet and contemplative, at times, Indiana Jones game that sometimes gets really loud and action-packed. And I think they're great at doing those, like, balancing those two things. So, yeah, that it is super cool to imagine what that game is right now.
Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is where you can go to ask questions for the show. And most of the questions were all about this exact news. And I have two questions that pretty much encompass what most people were asking. So I'm going to pull Mitch Krassen, who wrote in and asked, what is the most likely version of the Indiana Jones game you're getting from Machine Games? Third person, first person, Tomb Raider-y, or Horizon-y? And then Gluten Full also wrote in and says, good morning, sexies. With Indiana Jones being announced, how do you think the game will fall into the Microsoft acquisition? Xbox exclusive game? If it's third party and it's successful, would Microsoft continue making them? Thanks for all you do. Imran, we can start from anywhere. I'm going to let you pick where we start in terms of what this game is going to be and how it's going to be released.
We could actually wrap two of these things together. Does this game exist as an Xbox version of Tomb Raider? Or not Tomb Raider, of Uncharted? And that's, like, that is, I think, the most important question to me. Because, like, if it is, like, are they trying to go for, hey, why bother with Dime Store Indiana Jones? We can have real Indiana Jones right here. Like, does Nate Drake become the we have Indiana Jones at home kind of thing? Who knows? I think that would be an interesting play for Microsoft. But the fact that acquisition was announced 3 months ago? So more than 3 months ago. Like, yeah, around 4 months ago. I'm going to guess the deals for this game were inked before then. But it is also worth noting that Xbox has responded to this tweet already. They've, like, the Xbox account. Sony has not. As far as I know, maybe someone can correct me. Like, you're wrong, Kadumi. But does that indicate that this is a Microsoft exclusive? Or does it, like, the fact that it's a external IP indicate that it's supposed to be everywhere? Like, this does give us a little bit of an idea, or not yet, but it will give us a little bit of idea of what does Microsoft plan to do with Bethesda. Are they going to, for example, release Starfield on PS5? And if so, like, was there already a deal for that? Or are they going to have Starfield on PS5 for $70 and free, quote unquote, on Game Pass? Like, that would be a hell of a contrast to make. So I'm curious what happens with Indiana Jones, because if they do make it, they're like, you can only play like Spider-Man, you can only play Indiana Jones on Xbox. That is a compelling thing to do. That's a compelling reason to, like, get an Xbox and sign up for Game Pass and be like, fuck yeah, I want to play Indiana Jones.
Yeah, no, I think that's the big question in terms of, like, is this going to be an exclusive or not, or how is this going to go? Because I think when you look at Bethesda and the acquisition, what that means for their library. Like, we've had interviews of folks from Microsoft and folks from Bethesda having the conversation of, yeah, we're looking at games on a game-by-game basis and how they're going to release. And so I think what I pull from that, I think what many people pull from that is, all right, yeah, like a game like Starfield, what does that look like? You know, will the return on releasing it on all platforms be enough to justify that game being multi-platform and then being Game Pass on Xbox? Or should that be an Xbox exclusive in order to sell the platform? And I think that's a question that's going to be asked in that way for each and every one of their titles. The Indiana Jones game specifically, I think makes more sense as an Xbox thing than a Bethesda Machine Games thing in terms of why you would make the decision to develop that game. Because I know, like, you know, people love Indiana Jones. I understand creatively why you'd want to work on Indiana Jones. That said, Bethesda isn't really known for taking licensed games and like and putting out games tied to licenses, right? Like, especially in the last generation, I can't think off the top of a game from Bethesda that's been a movie licensed game.
Microsoft, movie license, sure, like, but they bought Fallout. Fallout did not come from them, so like,
for sure.
Technically, I mean, I guess they own it, so it's a little different thing. But yeah, they nobody really does licensed games or licensed much of anything these days, except for like Marvel stuff and Star Wars, I guess.
Yeah, and like, and I mean, to my point, right? Like, Microsoft, on the other hand, I think this makes complete sense for that strategy in terms of, hey, we can have our own Uncharted, and it can literally be Indiana Jones, right? The thing that people compare Uncharted and Tomb Raider to, the thing that those games trace the lineage back to. We can have that as an exclusive game and have Machine Games work on it. And Machine Games obviously knows how to put together a great campaign, knows how to put together a great story, knows how to have character work and do all that stuff. Also knows how to make a shooter, you know, if you want to have that be the main thrust of the gameplay. I think that makes more sense as a Microsoft decision than a Bethesda Machine Games decision. And with that, I wouldn't be surprised to see it be exclusive. I think it makes a lot of sense in terms of when the deal was made. You know, like, we don't necessarily have concrete proof, and I wouldn't be surprised if like those conversations were going on like alongside the Bethesda acquisition stuff in a way where Disney or whoever was looped into those conversations. Lucasfilm Games were looped into that conversation, and you know, they looked at the lay of the land, were like, okay, yeah, we can see this releasing on Xbox and PC and be fine with it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. What do you think this means for Wolfenstein? Because they definitely, like, Youngblood set up a Wolfenstein 3 that was going to go fucking crazy. Like, do you think that means Wolfenstein 3 is now somewhere, like, delayed, or not delayed, like, deferred, I guess? Or do you think that, like, they're working on both these games simultaneously?
I would hope that they are working on them simultaneously, because I love Wolfenstein and Wolfenstein 2. I wouldn't be surprised if this means that it's going to be a while before we get Wolfenstein 3, especially coming off of Youngblood, which was not received well, and I did not like Youngblood. Played through it, got towards the end, and I was like, this game is bad. I can't even finish it, because my game actually broke toward the end, meaning I literally couldn't finish it.
I do encourage you to look up the last couple of, even for the chat, look up the last couple of scenes of Youngblood, because it does set up a very interesting thing for Wolfenstein 3.
Yeah, and like Youngblood seems to be, Youngblood came out of a Bethesda that was making games like Fallout 76, right? And like, I feel like there's one other example that I'm missing in terms of like Bethesda's move toward quote-unquote games as servicey type games. But Youngblood felt like it was kind of part of that in a way where it was kind of justifying its own existence by being this thing that might sell more or might be able to make money off microtransactions or whatever it may be, because it is set up to be more of a games as a service type game. And it just failed doing that, meaning that I don't know what that specifically means for Wolfenstein's future. That said, I would hope they're making Wolfenstein 3 that is along the lines of Wolfenstein 2, and it is a straightforward single-player narrative first-person shooter game, because that's what I want from them, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious, because like I said, Youngblood's setup is just so interesting. I want to see them get to it. I want to see them, like, because it we have to punch Hitler at some point. We got to like blow him up, and I need to see that at some point. So hopefully they're not deferring that for Indiana Jones. But if they I think it's a reasonable game,
honestly. I'm down to punch Hitler and Indiana Jones, even though I'm not sure if that lines up in terms of timeline.
You could the LucasArts Temple of Atlantis game. Dope. Yeah. Because, like, you've seen the Indiana Jones movies, right?
Nope.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What? Hold on.
I've just never really, like... Indiana Jones has just never, like, really been the thing that I feel like I've needed to watch. It doesn't, like, appeal to me in any sort of way. Exploring, cool.
Bless, you've lost the chat. Just a heads up.
Yeah, this should have been something about at the beginning. Holy shit.
I feel comfortable saying this to you because Jonathan Dornbush also said the same thing on Twitter, and I was like, thank God I have company. I can feel safe saying this. I've not seen Indiana Jones, and I have no desire to watch Indiana Jones.
book it 1 year from today, Nick Scarpino's next birthday, for watching all three Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, wow.
And say watch along. All three. Okay. If you...
That's a lot of Indiana Jones.
So we're just ignoring the fourth one, just to be clear.
Yes.
Excellent.
Is that the fourth one? Is that the one that everybody went crazy about because it was so bad?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a bad movie in a lot of respects, but they go out of their way to make it real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that there's an Indiana Jones LucasArts graphic adventure in the 90s that I don't remember the exact year of, but I played as a kid, and you get a scene where you confront Hitler like behind a phone booth, I think, and then like you have the choice to like punch him out or not. And it's like, all right, who's not gonna punch Hitler?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I like that.
So I hope that they get that air.
Hmm. Dude, I love watching chat right now because chat is no, divided.
It was very slowly moving, and then the second you said that, it just like popped off in a way I've not seen in a while.
I don't love two.
It's just it's one of those movies because obviously it's like Indiana Jones isn't a franchise from my childhood, obviously. And I know for many people it wasn't, and they've still seen Indiana Jones. But I've never been in the situation where I would watch it. Like, it's never just naturally been on TV on the channels I'm watching. It's never come up at a friend's house. You know, like the way I watched the original Star Wars trilogy was like I had a friend that had it and we happened to watch it. And like it happened like that during my childhood. Nowhere did Indiana Jones come up for me in a way that I would have watched it. And so I just never watched it.
Kevin, have you guys done Indiana Jones in a review without like ever?
No, that's a good idea.
You got to do that. Do that and get Blessing in on that. So he has to. He has no choice. It is for work.
We did do that.
I mean, they don't ever have me on the interview stuff.
So we did that. We've got to now.
But like that's how we got Andy in, right? We did for no, that's not true. He was in from the beginning.
Desire. I do want to watch the Dora the Explorer movie, which I assume is very similar to Indiana Jones.
I don't. And that's like next on my list. Of you know what I mean?
my goal for this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is to make it so that Nick has to listen to it, because enough people tweet at him and are like, I don't know if you've heard what Blessing is saying, but he is saying some very offensive things on the show about your interest specifically. That's my goal.
Yeah, no.
And so, Dora the Explorer on the list.
This is gonna be the next like. This is the thing. This is the next year of Kind of Funny is gonna be everyone harassing you about Indiana Jones.
Will they though? Like, is Indiana Jones one of those movies that you have to see?
Yes.
I know enough about Indiana Jones. I know he runs from the boulder at some point. I know he has like a whip. I know he explores.
Bless.
I know. I know Nathan Drake has some like similarities to him because they're both explorers.
See, that is the context though. Is you cannot really talk about an Uncharted unless you've mm-hmm. seen Indiana Jones and have True. That like foundational. Oh, come on.
That is.
No, seriously, you're on a PlayStation show. Do we have to call Greg Miller, who I think is off today or something, and like get him to?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, he's not here now.
Yell at you about Indiana Jones.
Hmm. I don't know if Greg Miller cares about Indiana Jones. Oh, that's my thing. I've not met anybody who's like diehard Indiana Jones fan.
I think Nick is diehard Indiana Jones. You call is Nick he? And ask him. See, can you call Nick and ask
the thing.
Him.
I don't have Nick's number, but Blessing, do you have?
Do I have who? Nick's number? No.
Yes.
Wow, really?
Wow, okay. I don't work for Nick. So I just gotta like work for kind
like
of funny
I said,
in general.
I barely like work from home. No one works for Nick when I started working. I barely interact with Nick. Actually, I might have Nick's number. Hold on, let me check.
I think either Greg or Nick is fine. The thing is, you don't find diehard Indiana Jones fans because everyone just kind of assumes that like somebody likes Indiana Jones. People will disagree on the fourth movie, and the people who like it are wrong. But everyone else are like, yeah, no, the first three movies are good.
I guess I just have no desire. It's like pirates for me. Not that I hate explorers or anything. Like I hate pirates, but I just like nothing about it. Nothing about it strikes me as like, oh, this is exciting. You know, like going to the jungle.
You hate pirates. Shit. You hate pirates.
Oh just, yeah, no, I hate pirates.
We've gone through this. We got through it on one of the Blessing stream. Is that I think it's a hygiene thing. Is what you said.
Yeah, pirates like seem like they're dirty and like wait, get but scurvy. Like
I can't remember. Did we talk about that one porno that was pirates?
I don't think we've talked about it.
I think that's the thing we've talked about on the show, yeah.
Is that like were
also,
you
we're
into
going
that?
Long on this
were you
for,
into that
for a jam-packed news day? Was I into the porno? No. Again, oh, hygiene.
Wow. You like, really don't like pirates. Good for you like for pirates, having stances.
No. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't fuck with pirates. I love ninjas. Blessing, I'm down with the aliens.
Blessing has standards, but you gotta respect. It's just the standards are wrong.
Anyway, I'm very excited for this Indiana Jones game. Story number two, we've got a bunch of PS5 release windows. This is from Jenny Leda at Silicon Era. Sony's CES 2021 digital press event has come and gone, and with it came an unexpected number of release windows. During the presentation, which appeared on the Sony Square website, there was actually a bit of insight into when people can expect certain big name games. To be specific, around the 10-minute mark, the PlayStation 5 was discussed, and with it came Project Athia, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Pragmata release windows. The release windows look like this. The Hitman 3, obviously, is coming out January 2021. Ghostwire Tokyo, October 2021. Horizon Forbidden West, it just says 2021. Kena: Bridge of Spirits, March 2021. Little Devil Inside, July 2021. Pragmata, 2023. Project Athia, January 2022. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, it's just 2021. Returnal, March 19th, 2021. Solar Ash, June 2021. And then Stray is coming out October 2021. Imran, how do you feel about these dates?
We get a weird amount of like game date news for PS5 just from like the copyright stuff at the bottom of videos. It's weird, like it's strange. Did we know Ghostwire was October until right now? Like, did we know Pragmata was delayed?
I think Pragmata, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Project Athia are like the big new details that we know now.
Yeah, it is cool that like now we have an exact confident month for like a year from now for Project Athia. Like, that's neat. It's weird they didn't just tell us at some point, but I guess, you know, if this works, then fine. I think it's interesting that Ratchet and Clank is like just 2021. Like, they said launch window at Gamescom. So has it slipped? Have they not announced? Are they not planning to announce it right now? Like, at this point, it's January, so I think the most optimistic you could possibly be is March.
Yeah, I feel like March is the latest. I feel like after March, launch window is done.
Right, which means that, like, and I said this is concerning on Twitter, but what I mean is, like, did it slip and they're not saying anything? Or, like, was, I don't know. It's interesting to me that, like, at says 2021 and we're in January, and are they really stretching the definition of launch window to, like, 7 months? Which would be ridiculous.
I think the reason why they don't, like, I think in terms of the way they've formatted these dates, launch window just wouldn't fit in terms of like the very specific nature of the way they've listed these things. Even though I guess for that, right, they could have just put between February and March or something like that within these list of dates. But I think for them, they were just like, okay, yeah, let's be as vague as possible because maybe they still don't know the release date.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that Pragmata slipped an entire year. Like, that, I don't know what that game is yet, so I'm not sure whether to be like disappointed or not. Like, what is that game going to be? That is it ambitious? Like, or are they having development trouble? Is this a COVID-related thing? They said the studio who's making it, and it's not internal Capcom. They're just publishing it, right? Or am I
for Pragmata?
Yeah.
Was that the Capcom game where there were like the spacesuits and shit?
Yes, it's the one everyone thought was Kojima that turned out not.
Yeah,
to be Kojima.
That wasn't Kojima. I forget who's developing it. I can look it up.
But yeah, that's like, I'm excited about Athia being that close. Hitman 3, it's funny they misspelled January in the copyright or in that thing.
It is, yeah. Pragmata looks like it's being developed by Capcom internal.
Okay, it is. Okay, I wonder which internal team is making it. I'm glad Kena is coming soon.
Yeah.
I like that they're doubling down on Horizon, though at some point, like, if we're going to put it out on PS4, that it has to come out this year. Otherwise, then what's the point? I feel like if Ratchet and Clank were March, then they would have said it at the same time as Eternal. So I think optimistically we're looking at April, May, realistically, I should say.
Yeah, I guess that's a really good point that I don't think you'd want to, as PlayStation, you wouldn't want to stack those games on top of each other. I was very optimistic late last year about a February release for Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. But now that we're here in January, like, that seems less and less likely. I feel like you would have announced that by now.
I was hoping it was going to be January, because, like, there's nothing this month. Like,
hey, I mean, Hitman 3.
Oh, yeah, Hitman 3, great. But that's also, like, I guess in terms of our exclusives, I would have assumed more. But
yeah, and there's a huge February game from PlayStation called Destruction All-Stars that you wouldn't want to get
ask.
In yes. the way of. And so I'm actually very much looking forward to Destruction All-Stars.
I think it's funny it wasn't in that sizzle reel.
That's actually pretty funny that it wasn't in that sizzle reel. I'm looking forward to trying it out. I really hope that game is good because I think that could be a fun February, empty February game. Even though I guess we do have a couple of games coming out in February.
I would like it to be good. I'm not necessarily confident it will be, but I would very much like that game to come out of nowhere and just be like amazing.
Yeah. It could happen. We shall see.
Yeah.
Story number three, Google Stadia and GeForce Now are coming to LG TVs in 2021. This is Chris Welch at The Verge. LG has announced that it's bringing two of the leading cloud gaming services, Google Stadia and NVIDIA's GeForce Now, to its newest TVs later this year. Stadia is expected to be available in the second half of the year after the 2021 lineup of OLED, QNED, and NanoCell TVs start shipping, with GeForce Now coming sometime later. The news signifies a continued expansion for both services. Google has promised that Stadia will come to Google TV, including the latest Chromecast, in the first half of 2021. Last week, Sony announced its 2021 lineup of TVs. They all run Google TV, so it's a safe bet that you'll be able to also find Stadia on those when they ship in a few months. As for GeForce Now, it's currently available on NVIDIA Shield platform, Windows, macOS, Chrome OS, Android, and in beta on Safari for iOS and iPad OS. But it's not shipping natively on any TVs, so LG is among the first in that regard. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of an exciting feature for video game streaming, although, like, you know, Google Stadia is still one that I'm iffy on in terms of how long that keeps up as a platform, because it's had such a shaky launch so far. And I guess we're entering, what, year two or year three of Google Stadia being a thing? I think year two. That said, like, the streaming feature in general, I think, is exciting. Once xCloud starts to get on more platforms, I think that's also going to be a huge thing.
This is the ideal, I think, for it, is that you want to put these streams on things people already have. So, like, put it on phones, logical, but, like, then you start needing controllers, like, attachments and stuff like that. So, okay, put it on TVs, and all you just need is, like, you can go to a store and get a controller, and then, like, hook it up to the TV, I assume, through Bluetooth. Like, that's the fewer barriers you can have between a person owning, or, like, a person sitting on their couch and then starting to play No Man's Sky, Assassin's Creed, whatever. Like, that is the ideal case for these things. Let me ask you this, Blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminded the other day Sekiro is out on Stadia. As somebody playing Sekiro currently, would you play a cloud version of Sekiro?
No, not. I'm having enough trouble playing a 60 FPS native on my PS5 version of Sekiro. I'm not going to play a cloud version of that game. I couldn't imagine playing that game on cloud streaming.
I kind of want to, like I went, like, absolutely not, I would never play it the first time. Now I'm like, I kind of wonder how it works. I kind of, like, I'm curious if it, like, is a decent version, like, on streaming stuff. So maybe I'll just try that, because I have Stadia, apparently. Like, I got that free Stadia a couple of months ago, and it didn't work on my phone. My phone couldn't connect to the Chromecast, so then I just gave up. And then I got my brother gave me a new Chromecast, but it doesn't have Stadia support, so I just haven't used it at all. So maybe I'll try it for Sekiro.
What a disaster Stadia is, you know what I mean?
Are you still paying for it, Kevin? Or is it like...
No, I never paid for it. I bought the little pack that came with the controller. Right? Yeah, and it's, you know, it was just disappointing. And then you get the 3 months for free, and then after that I was like, no. I couldn't even bother to be like, hey, Greg, let me get, like, try to get me more free of the Stadia Pro, or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that would make a streaming service exciting would be, one, accessibility, the thing you just said, right? Like, having it available on whatever device you own. And so this TV thing is huge for that. But then also library. Like, if you have a vast library of games where it is like, okay, you know, am I really going to play Sekiro on this thing? No, but maybe I'll play Tetris, or maybe I'll play an RPG, or maybe I'll play a Telltale game or whatever. Like, I think that becomes way more exciting for these platforms, as opposed to, like, very specific game releases where it's like, okay, do I want to play, like, Google Stadia in terms of library and in terms of accessibility isn't hitting enough on both ends. But we shall see as they continue to get on more platforms and that library expands. We'll see.
Yeah.
Though xCloud is on their ass, and so I don't have much hope or faith. But again, we'll see. Story number four. Do we know when Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming? This is from Steve Watts at GameSpot. Mass Effect Legendary Edition, a set of remasters of the original three Mass Effect games, could be preparing for launch in March. A pair of retailers have listed the game for release on March 12th, much narrowed from its previously vague 2021 release target. The shops Shopatry and GS Shop via VGC both share the date, which is more specific than you'd expect for a mere placeholder date. The dates appearing together so suddenly may also suggest that, if accurate, an official announcement is coming soon. Imran, do you believe it?
Yeah, probably. Andromeda came out in March as well. Like, is general March is the release games before the quarter, or for EA, yeah, I think it's the financial quarter, not the financial year. But like, that's their we should just get this game out kind of thing. Usually you don't want to tease a remaster for too long because like people just don't have that much interest in what a remaster does. So I think, yeah, logically, maybe this month or next month, say like, here's how we're changing Mass Effect 1, then in March actually release it. I think that's a perfectly logical date.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think that lines up. I think that would also make for an exciting March to get Mass Effect followed by that young Returnal. You know, it could be a good double whammy. Looking forward to that. That's another one that like I'm very excited for that to come out because I've not played through the Mass Effect franchise, and that's one that I actually do want to play through. And so I hope we get it sooner than later so I can jump in.
Yeah, no, Mass Effect is a fantastic first game, a fantastic second game, and it finishes the trilogy.
I heard it's no Indiana Jones, though.
If there were a Mass Effect movie, would you watch it?
I mean, right now, no, because I don't really have any interest. But like maybe after I played it and maybe if I like it, then yeah. I think that'd be a cool idea, Mass Effect movie, space opera.
Yeah, I think... One, you
that
should
would
watch
just Star be Star Trek. Trek, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You should watch Star Trek. But okay. Two, you place such an emphasis on commitment to movies that I'm not sure I understand. It is like, I got nothing to do. I'm going to watch 2 hours of a movie. That's fine. Like, for you, it's like, I don't know that I would date this person for 6 weeks. It's no, you sit down and you watch a movie for 2 hours. That's it.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, man.
It's not a video game blessing. I'm just saying, just watch a movie occasionally. It's not a big deal.
I don't know, like sitting down.
You fuck.
If the world was open and I could sit with friends and just like watch a bunch of movies, I feel like that's my preferred way to like watch a movie. I don't want to be sitting in my room alone.
You have two
watching
TVs,
fucking Indiana
though, right?
Jones swinging across a jungle. I can just watch George the Jungle in that case. You
You've
know?
Literally never been more at home than you are right now. You might as well just watch a movie.
I don't know, man. That sounds boring. I could just play Sekiro. You know, why watch a movie when I can just play Sekiro?
You say as you're about to watch with a virtual watch along with other people later today.
But yeah, but that's my thing though. Like, you know, I'm getting to have like this fun communal experience of friends. For me, it's less about the signs and more about spending time with the homies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what makes it exciting. You know what else is exciting, Imran? Story what number five, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order getting a next-gen update. This is from Matt Perslow at IGN. EA and developer Respawn have issued a patch for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order that updates the game for next-generation consoles. While it's not a next-gen version of the game, the patch does allow the PS4 and Xbox One versions of Fallen Order to make use of the significantly more powerful new console hardware. The next-gen optimization update improves Fallen Order's frame rate, dynamic resolution ranges, and post-processing resolution, although the changes do depend on what hardware you're running. For Xbox Series S, the only change is the frame rate, which has been increased from 45 FPS to 60 FPS. On Xbox Series X, performance mode now hits 60 FPS, and the dynamic resolution can scale between 1080p and 1440p. On normal mode, post-processing has been increased to 4K resolution, and the dynamic resolution can range between 1512p and 2160p. Over on the PS5, the frame rate has been increased from 45 to 60 FPS. Unlike the Xbox version, there are no normal slash performance modes. Instead, post-processing is set at 1440p, and dynamic scaling has been disabled in favor of a locked render resolution of 1200p. Previously, the game scaled between 810p and 1080p. Very exciting stuff if you're a Jedi Fallen Order fan.
Yeah.
Imran, is this enough to make you jump back into that game?
No, I think I'm done. I don't think, like, if they said also fast travel, then, like, yeah, probably I'd come back in because, like, most of the stuff in the game I need to do is stuff that's, like, I need to find, like, one of these things, you know, here or, like, whatever. But I don't feel like going through so much of that stuff just to, I would be more likely to replay that game from scratch than I would be to pick up my old save file. But, I'm a little surprised that they're bothering to do this still. Like, to me, that says they probably made some improvements in their work on the sequel that flowed back well enough into the first game that it's like, yeah, we can make these changes. We might as well do it now.
Yeah, I think this is exciting from the perspective that I have now playing through Sekiro coming off of Bloodborne, and Bloodborne is a game that I believe is capped at 30 FPS right now on PlayStation. And so playing on PS5, I'm getting that version. And like for me playing it, I was fine with it. I didn't really notice any, like, I didn't notice the fact that it was 30 FPS. And so I didn't have an issue with it until I switched to Sekiro, and Sekiro moves up to 60 FPS. And that game is so smooth on PS5. I cannot believe how smooth it looks and plays. And so for people who are either going back to Jedi Fallen Order or want to jump into it for the first time, I think that's exciting for that.
Yeah. We're I'm playing a game right now that we can't talk about yet, but the way I'm playing it, I would be kind of annoyed if I were playing it on a base system as opposed to like the current generation. Like, because there's like a graphics and performance mode, and I'm getting 60 FPS in like full resolution on both. So great. I would probably be annoyed playing it before.
Imran, I want to tell you about our next news story. Before I do, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. ForHims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims for help keeping their hair full and healthy. We can confirm they've been loving it ever since. Through Hims, you can get the prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions to ED. Hims makes it easy. Hims connects you with a licensed medical professional who can prescribe FDA-approved prescription medication to treat erectile dysfunction. You get the same active ingredient as that expensive little pill, but without the expensive price tag. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you had to go through a doctor or pharmacy, not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history, and a provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging, and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about ED or sexual wellness. Just go to your 4Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. Why live with ED when the solution can be so simple? Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4Hims.com/funnygames for your free visit. That's 4Hims.com/funnygames, FORHIMS.com/funnygames. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with the medical provider, who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. Remember, that's 4Hims.com/funnygames. We're also brought to you by Brooklinen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets, but maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one set and gave up. Trust me, go check out Brooklinen. Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, and is so confident in their product that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. You can buy sheets, bedding, and pillows all at once and save even more. Kind of Funny loves Brooklinen. Tim gets the sheets that match his room, and Greg talks about the towel that he loves because it covers his shame. He keeps mentioning that, and I've been asking him to stop, but every single morning I wake up, I open my Slack, I get a DM from Greg, and he's talking about how the towel covers his shame, and I'm like, please stop, Greg, but he doesn't. And so please send help. It's 2021. Do something nice for yourself. That's not a real story, but could you imagine if that happened? Be crazy. It's 2021. Do something nice for yourself to start the new year. To help do that, Brooklinen has a special offer. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code GAMES to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's Brooklinen.com, and enter promo code GAMES to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com, and use promo code GAMES at checkout. And to be clear, Greg did say once, though, that it does cover his shame, and he's very excited about that.
I mean, that's very easy because he's Small Balls Miller. Like, we've established that.
Go off, King.
I'm not the one who made that nickname. Nick Scarpino told us about that nickname. True. Was that is true. They called him Small Balls Miller.
Yep. They did call him
that. Let's do the last ad, though.
Yeah, let's do the last ad. Lastly, we're brought to you by Burrow. I can't stand shopping for furniture. The options, the transporting, the building, it's all frustrating. That's why I'm excited to tell you that KFGD is supported by Burrow, the furniture company that's designing smarter, simpler things for modern life at home. They built the company from the ground up to fix all the ways that shopping for furniture is frustrating. Every decision they make, from the first sketch of a new couch to the fast, free delivery promise, is made with your experience in mind. Burrow provides easy online shopping. No more visits to far-flung warehouse stores. No high-pressure salespeople. Plus, Burrow's world-class support team is available for you whenever you need. It's furniture designed for the way you live. The credenzas are actually tall enough to fit next-gen consoles standing vertically. That's right, a PS5 standing vertically. We all know that's like four feet tall of a console. That can fit in your credenza. Is this an exaggeration? But you get what I mean. The award-winning Nomad sofa has a built-in USB charger. Assembly is simple. Burrow customers literally write reviews applauding the instructions for being so easy to follow. Modular design means they're easy to set up, but also easy to take with you to your next home. And there's fast, free shipping on every order. Burrow saves users an average of $100 on large items like a couch. Right now, you can get $75 off your first order at burrow.com/games. That's Burrow, burrow.com/games for $75 off your first Burrow purchase. burrow.com/games. Story number six, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury got a dope new trailer. Kevin, I have a link for you in the doc if you want to pull that up as I read through. I'm going to pull from Joe Scribbles at IGN. We finally have our first proper look at Bowser's Fury, the expansion coming alongside the port of Super Mario 3D World for Nintendo Switch, and it features a friendly Bowser Jr. as well as a kaiju-sized version of Bowser and Cap Mario. Revealed in a new trailer, Bowser's Fury is described as an all-new bonus adventure and features Mario working with Bowser Jr., who can seemingly paint walls to create items and attack enemies. It's not yet clear if Bowser Jr. is controlled by a second player. Imran, did you catch this released this morning? What do you think?
It looks like a Mario Odyssey world with like a lot more platforming around. Like this is clearly a more open world thing, not like the segmented levels of 3D world, which is interesting. Like, I saw some people tossing around that like maybe this is Odyssey DLC at some point, but I don't think so. This looks like them kind of committing to the idea of like, what if we made a hybrid of these two things? So like maybe it is a look into what the next Mario game will be in some way, or like them experimenting a little bit. So I'm excited to like try this out because this is not the first time people have asked for an open world Mario platform with more of an emphasis on the platforming aspect. So if this works out, hell yeah, I'd be excited to see what happens next because this looks cool.
Yeah, no, this looks really cool. I'm all about how it is stylistically. I love seeing Bowser look like a badass. Like it's showing on screen right now. Bowser looks like more menacing and like, I'm not gonna say terrifying, but he looks like more of a beast than he's ever looked before, and I'm all about that. It reminds me like a little bit of Giga Bowser from Melee, which I'm all about. I love that. I got a question here from Bobby Wasabi, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you, Ken, and says, wow, Bowser's Fury is more than I expected it to be. A platforming jungle gym that blends 3D world and Odyssey with new elements sprinkled throughout. Sign me up. My one concern and question, how long are you both expecting this will be? Will fans be disappointed if it's any less than an hour's worth of content? Or do you think the length doesn't matter as it's being packaged as an add-on to an already fantastic game? Thanks for taking the time to answer, Bobby Wasabi.
An hour sounds way too low. I don't expect it's going to be like a full-size game or anything. I would bet somewhere in the area of 2 to 6 hours. That would be like, I think, the logical answer. But yeah, it probably is going to be meaty enough for people to be like, oh yeah, that was a cool little thing, but not meaty enough to be like, okay, this is, you know, a game-sized adventure.
Yeah, that's the impression I get too. Like, I get like it seems like it's going to be something that's around three to five hours, I'll say. It strikes me as like an indie game size package, right? Like in terms of it looks like it's one big level that's explorable, and it doesn't look like a world, right? It doesn't look like it's building on building something that is grander. It seems like more of a condensed contained thing. With that being the case, like, it reminds me almost of something like A Short Hike, where A Short Hike reminded me a bit of a Mario platformer level in the way that that game is just a big mountain that you can just climb and have fun and fuck around in. And this gives me similar vibes as, oh yeah, spend 3 hours in this world. It's an open playground. Have fun. Fuck around. Beat Bowser. And with that, I don't necessarily expect something too extensive. That said, if this is really good, I do expect to see more of this, because Nintendo is a company that's very good at experimenting with new ideas and using those for like one-off levels in their games. That said, for this being this DLC, quote-unquote DLC, add-on to an already existing game, if this turns into something that people really love, I could see it going the Captain Toad route of, hey, we can make a full game out of this and people will enjoy it. And so,
yeah, I think lengthwise you should expect like a proportionally Mario Odyssey. So, like, I suspect this will be around the same size as like the desert area of Mario Odyssey, which that if you're looking for everything, that probably takes a good 5 to 6 hours to just play in that one part. So that's what kind of what I expect. By the way, Blessing, you're being dragged on Twitter.
Am I? For what? Yes. Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Good. Good. That's what he deserves.
I knew this would happen. When I got hired at Kind of Funny, I was like, man, when the Indiana Jones thing comes up with me, it's going to be a terrible day. You know, once they realize that I don't give a fuck about Indiana Jones, they're going to be really mad about it. So good. Good.
Just wanted to get your immediate take. Yeah.
Speaking of this Mario business, though, story number 7, there's also a new Mario Red Switch model. This is, again, is from Matt Purcell at IGN. I got images here, Kevin, if you want to pull them up too. Nintendo has revealed a new Mario Edition Switch, which is the first variant of the console for the screen unit itself to be offered in a different color. The Mario Red and Blue Edition replicates the iconic colors of Nintendo's mascot, with red Joy-Con controllers featuring blue straps and blue grips that mimic Mario's... how would I pronounce that word? Is it dungaree or dungaree?
Dungaree.
Mario's dungaree straps. The dock and system unit itself are also red rather than the traditional black format. I am a big fan of the red consoles that are, or the red hardware, I should say, that are being revealed this week.
Yeah, no, that, like, it's crazy to me it took this long to make a Mario Switch, but cool. Cool that we're finally there.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Our last news story, this will be a quick one, is a quick update on the Capcom hack. This is from James Bassler at gamesindustry.biz. Capcom has offered more insight into the consequences of a ransomware attack last year, and the number of people affected is higher than previously reported. A release offering an update on the situation now reveals that 16,406 people have had their personal information compromised. This includes 3,248 people from the business partners, 9,164 former employees and related parties, and 3,995 current employees and related parties. Information compromised includes email addresses, phone numbers, postal addresses, and HR information. Capcom has reiterated that no credit card information has been affected. The publisher also increased the maximum number of people potentially affected to 390,000. Capcom is in the process of contacting those who have been verified to be affected by the attack and will continue to investigate the personal information that may also have been in danger. So a quick update for you to keep you in the know.
Yeah, that whole thing sucks. It sucks for everyone, all the news. Like, it's, on one hand, it's cool to know the news. On the other hand, like, it sucks that this is the way it came out. And like, yeah, whole thing sucks.
Yeah. Imran, very excited to see when these hackers get brought to justice. But that might be so far away. If I wanted what was coming out to mom and pop shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
And do 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Out today, we got King Arthur, Knight's Tale for PC, SUM, Slay Uncool Monsters for Switch, Dead Ground for Switch, Epitaph for Switch, Mahjong Adventure for Switch, Heroes of the Three Kingdoms 8 for PC, Yaga for PC, and then there's a new Red Dead Online update. Bringing justice to Red Dead Online's frontier will bring players even sweeter payouts this week, as bounty hunters are scoring boosted RDO dollars and roll XP on all legendary bounties, plus login rewards, new bounty hunter related discounts, as well as discounts on select weapons also await players. New dates for you: Mundan is out on March 16th for 2021, or March 16th, 2021 for PS5 and PlayStation 4, and Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, PC, via Steam and the Epic Game Store. And then Hellpoint comes to Switch on February 25th. Realize Wintertide Miracles is launching February 25th on Nintendo Switch. And then lastly, King Arthur's Knight's Tale has a new Steam Early Access date, January 26th. Imran, of course, people can write in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get their questions in, but then also to get in their squad up requests. The Cakers Man wrote in with a squad up in Fortnite. Kickerman writes in and says, "Hey, best friends, I started playing Fortnite again recently with the new season, and I'm looking for some non-randos to play with on my journey to Baby Yoda. Basically, I'm tired of randomly squatting up and hearing someone on the other side that's the age of my kiddo I just put to bed. I'm over 40, and I kind of stink at Fortnite, so I'm looking for fun more than wins. I play nights usually after 8 on the East Coast, Beast Coast. I'm the Cakers Man on Fortnite, as well as on PlayStation, if you want to add me on either, and let's have fun." Again, username is the Cakers Man. That is the T-A-K-E-R-S Man on PSN and Epic. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. That's, of course, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. A lot of Kingdom Hearts fans coming at my neck. And let me tell you, I played enough Kingdom Hearts 2 to know that I'm not into it. Just Mickey Mouse jumping around and doing flips and like swinging a sword, in theory cool, but in practice just wasn't my jam.
Wait, are they just trying to sell the game on you? Or are they correcting you on like nano machines not being like them having their version of nano machines?
No, the first one is from Nanobiologist saying, "First off, how dare you about Kingdom Hearts?" So that's kind of the tone we're setting.
All right, well, we're not reading those. Remember, you just ignore those. Now, if anyone talks about Indiana Jones, I want to hear about that.
Not a lot of your wrongs about Indiana Jones. I think people are just like, that's not the kind of thing you sit down and like you think about, you just react.
Big Bad Beluga, the live-action Dora the Explorer has a similar feel to Indiana Jones, but skews more for younger audiences. Listen, I watched that trailer for Dora the Explorer, and I thought it looked hilarious. And so I'm excited to watch that way more than I'd be excited to watch an Indiana Jones movie. You know what I mean? I'm hating on Indiana Jones. I don't even hate Indiana Jones. I just don't care about Indiana Jones. I'm playing up a character right now, but like, you know, I'm not going to like sit here and act like Indiana Jones is bad or anything by any means, because I don't think that. I'm not watching Indiana Jones. I just don't have an opinion and I have no interest. That's where I stand. And so that seems like it's it for, Star K-Zilla gives more context to Bethesda. They do have Elder Scrolls Online as a games as a service, and I was talking about that a little bit earlier in the episode, so thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, the content doesn't stop there. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are Greg and Gary Witta. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Andy, Nick, and Snowback Mike playing some of that young Apex Legends. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.